what you get to do today as a child is simply to receive them. Like a child. You know how adults are. Adults are the worst. When somebody gives them or tries to give them an extravagant, huge gift, you know how it is. We're thinking, is there a hidden motive? We're thinking, what are they really up to? We're thinking, now we're going to be indebted to them. And we're thinking, and then we say to them, you know, I couldn't, or I'll pay you back, or something like that. Adults are the worst. And what we get to do is just get rid of the adult compunction. And when God comes to give us a gift, we can just say with wide eyes and an open heart, thank you, thank you, thank you. I have always wanted this, and now I get it.
The following is a sermon from Peace Lutheran, a church located in downtown Aiken, South Carolina. For more information and for more content, go to peaceinaiken.com.
The scripture that we're looking at today comes from Matthew chapter 18. This is our gospel for today. It's a record of the life and works of Jesus. It's our tradition here at Peace to stand to honor the life and work of Jesus. Please do that right now. This is his teaching. We're going to look at it in depth today. It's a beautiful, beautiful, heartwarming teaching about children. And here's what he teaches us. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him, placed the child among them, and said, and he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Go ahead and be seated. How do you think this went? Can you picture it? There's this little two-year-old girl over here. She's holding her mom's leg. And Jesus says, "Come on over here, honey." She looks up at her mom. "Can I go?" Her mom says, "Yes." And she starts scampering over this two-year-old little body. Almost stumbles on a rock. She's going on. Jesus grabs her. It's big, wide eyes. And then Jesus stands her there. This emblem, this symbol. And he says, "Unless you change and become like her, like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." You know, there's a lot packed into that. I was thinking about what it means to be a child. It means many things. Children have lots of different faces, don't they? And I was thinking about that, and to help me think about it, I walked into my daughter's room and I started looking around, thinking about what it means to be a child, a little one. And I walked into her room. She's got a small library in there. And then I saw it right there. You can see in her small library the different faces of a child. There's the needy face of the child. There's the foolish face of the child. There's the companionship face of the child, and there's the trusting face of the child. You can see it in the different books. The first book that caught my eye was a book called Creepy Carrots. I don't know if you know this, but carrots get creepy at night. Reminds you of how needy kids can be, just how protected they need to be, how the world can be this big, scary place. Even carrots can get scary. You didn't know that till now. Kids are so dependent. They're so needy. There's this picture of my mom made this scrapbook. It's really a baby book. It has all these pictures of me when I was just this little tiny kid. And there's this one picture where my mom's on one side of the living room and my dad's on the other side of the living room. She's got me and he's got him, my twin, and it's like race cars going across the room. It's like a two-lane highway. We're just learning to walk. We're in diapers and mom's, I'm going like this and my twin's going like this, and I'm thinking there was probably a crack up and that would explain a lot, wouldn't it? But the picture, it just oozes neediness. I was months and months and months old, and I still couldn't walk. Kids are so needy. You know, it's different from other young in the creation, right? I was doing some research the other day. I went on YouTube, and there was this picture of this video of an ibex. And this ibex is days old. I mean, just days old, just had come out of the mama's womb. And apparently they grow up on top of mountains, and sometimes foxes come out there. And anyway, there's this video on YouTube where the ibex is wasting a fox down the side of a mountain. Days old. Took me months to learn how to walk. It was late summer once, and I had a chance to go to the Carolina Shore. And anybody who goes to the Carolina Shore in late summer knows that sometimes you get to see sea turtles hatch. And I was one of those guys that night. You know how people do sea turtle vigils on the shore? They go to where they're nesting, and then they all stand around. They stand there all night. I was one of those guys, and I just happened to get blessed when all of a sudden the sea turtles hatched. It was amazing. The sand starts boiling, and they start poking up out of the sand, and we're watching these little sea turtles go, and they are so cute, y'all. It's like your heart is wax, and they are the flame. I mean, you just melt, and these little sea turtles come out. The sand boils. And I'm telling you, it is pure sea turtle negligence. There's no lifeguard. Nobody's teaching them how to swim, and they go right into the ocean. They hatch, and they go right into the ocean. I still can't walk after months. Children are so needy. Little human beings. And part of what Jesus is saying is that he wants us to realize that. See, humans, when we think of kids, we are in this strict business of raising adults, right? We are in the strict business of raising adults. That's what we want to do. We take these little kids, we teach them how to be adults and to go away from home and to be independent adults. We are in the strict business of raising adults, but God isn't. He is in the strict business of keeping kids. He doesn't want us to grow up. He wants us to stay dependent. He doesn't want us to talk to him less. He wants us to talk to him more. He doesn't want us to look to him less for guidance. He wants us to look to him even more. We raise adults. He keeps kids. And part of what Jesus is saying is he wants us to realize our neediness and our dependence on him. And the good news is this. When tax season comes around, every single year, he still wants to claim you as a dependent. We all still have needs. And he wants to be our God to meet them. So sometimes you have books like Creepy Carrots, and they remind you that. But there's another book just down the way. It's one of my favorite ones. It's called Alexander. And the no good, terrible, bad day. It's a great little book. See, kids are far more than just a bundle of needs. It's just like the Proverbs say, foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. In fact, here's a reflection for you today on Father's Day. You know what's amazing to me? It is amazing that the minute you become a parent is not the same minute you repent and become a Christian. Because you find out, it's just like Jesus said. It's definitely true that children are born in sin. You see it. I was at Chick-fil-A once. I won't tell you the whole story, but it happened in the play place. It involved other children and a child and their diaper. Children are far more than just needy. They are foolish. There's an edge to this teaching, and that's what I'm trying to point out. It's actually a little bit offensive when you think about what Jesus is teaching about here. See, when we modern Americans, we hear Jesus teach, you know, you got to be like children. The first thing that we hear as modern Americans is we think wide eyes, open heart, cute little kid. That's what we think. They wouldn't have thought that for a second. We're the ones who come up with movies like Peter Pan, where you romanticize being a kid. They wouldn't have done that. You know what was being a kid for them back then? Something that you stop being as soon as possible. You know why? Because when you were a kid back then, you often didn't survive. And when you were a kid back then, you were known for being foolish. And when you were a kid back then, you actually weren't good for just about anything. Kids were foolish, prone to dying, and weren't good for anything. And therefore, back then, when people looked at kids, what they thought was that was a thing you stopped trying to be as soon as it was possible. And see, what Jesus is trying to help us see is that we're like that. We should be shocked by this teaching a little bit, like the kind of shocked if you saw a kid with a fork in their hand heading for an electrical socket. And Jesus saying, you should be like that. Because what Jesus is trying to get us to do is to look at ourselves and to say, you know what, we are foolish kids. We are prone to dying. We need to be forgiven and we need his help. He says we got to change and see ourselves like that. You know, that's true if you think about it. Adults aren't nearly as adult as you think they are. There's a musical that swept across Broadway just a few years ago. It's called Dear Evan Hansen. It's a story about a single mom who's raising this son. And she knows she has no idea how to do it. And she sings this opening song. It's called, Does Anybody Have a Map? She didn't know what she was doing. She knew it. Sometimes it's your weakness that shows that to you, and sometimes it's your hardness that shows it to you. I have a friend who, she is raising two little kids right now. And she told me what she says to her little kids. She says to them, use your nice words now. Use your kind words now. She's telling me this story She teaches adjunct at a local university, actually teaches speech. She's telling me the story how she ends up saying those exact words, not to her kids this time, and not to the students that she's teaching at the local university, but to the other speech coach. Use your nice words. Use your kind words. You're not doing that right now. This person says to me, this friend, she says, I always used to think that adults were so grown up, and now I see they're really just big kids. They do childish things sometimes. It's true if you think about it. Sometimes you can see it in 70-year-olds. They're really 3-year-olds. They've never grown up. What's changed? They're just as selfish. The only thing that's changed is that the truck is a whole lot bigger now. And the consequences for not sharing affect a whole lot more people. What's changed? You know, kindergartners can't play nice in the sandbox sometimes. Adults can't either. What's changed? The only thing that's changed is that now a whole lot more people are involved, and now the spats last for years instead of just for 20 minutes. What's changed? What's changed in the church when somebody walks around? You know how that is sometimes? Like somebody comes into church, they walk around like they are God's gift to humanity. They have got it figured out. How's that different from Miss Little Goody Two-Shoes in the classroom, who is the teacher's pet and turns around and sticks their tongue out at the rest of the class when she gets an answer right? What's changed? Nothing. They're just older. Sometimes what we need to do is look at ourselves and just plain repent. My daughter's got another book on the shelf. There's a picture on the front of it. This little girl's like this, all mad. The title of the book is called My No, No, No Day. I love the end of it. I just love it. You know what she says? She says, today was a bad day. I'm sorry, Mommy. There's another book nearby. It's one that Eliana helped me find. I asked her, because I was thinking about this, are there books about friendship in here? She said, look at this one, Daddy. It's a book called Peanut Butter and Cupcake. Peanut Butter couldn't find anybody to play with, so Peanut Butter goes out and asks all these other things to play with him, and one of the things that Peanut Butter asked, it was Cupcake, and Cupcake said no. And so Peanut Butter keeps going until Peanut Butter finds Jelly, and then they play together so well that even Cupcake comes and plays together too. Kids get along with other kids so well. So at Matthew chapter 18, the whole chapter is all about. It's about kids having relationship with other kids. It's one of Jesus' most massive teachings in his entire ministry. Relationships with other kids, the whole chapter. He says, if you're going to be a teacher of kids, I want you to hear something, church. If you're going to be a teacher, you need to make sure that you teach the truth and nothing but the truth. So help you God. And if you don't, it would be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and for you to be thrown into the sea. Because if you mess with kids, you're messing with God. He loves his children. Don't do it. See, because kids, they're not just trusting, they're gullible. And you got to protect them. See, and kids, we're supposed to care about other kids. We're supposed to think about them as other kids. If you think about them as adults, you won't care as much. You'll think, oh, they shouldn't act like that. If they want to act like that, fine, go act like that then. We don't care. See, but kids, you do Amber Alerts for kids. You get out the FBI, you search high and low. It's like a sheep. You know that one of the 99 that's lost? You got to go. They're kids. It's Amber Alert. And you got to do what it takes. You know, you go by yourself, and if you can't find them by yourself, then you bring somebody along, Jesus says. And if that doesn't work, then you got to bring the whole church. And if it doesn't work, the whole church going and finding this lost child, then what you got to do is you hate to do it. You hate to do it, but you treat them like a pagan or a tax collector, because then they might be found, this child. But you do what it takes. You do everything to find a child. You know, and kids, they always forgive each other. They always forgive each other. And God says it's like that in the church. We are to forgive each other as God our Father has forgiven us, which is infinite. We are to take, Jesus says, the lowly position of a child in the church and then see everybody else as a child. See, I think that really matters, if you think about that. Do you know why I think sometimes people get so discontented with the church? Is because they think of other people as adults. They think, you know, they got their high school diploma in Christ, you know? They got their college degree in Christ. How can they act like that? How can they be that way? Who graduated? I didn't. Do you know what's going on here? Kindergarten, y'all. This is kindergarten. It is nothing more than kindergarten. We haven't graduated from anything. We haven't even gotten to eighth grade yet. We are all in kindergarten. We're all learners. In fact, there's not even any teachers here. There's one teacher. It's Christ. That's what Jesus said. It's kindergarten. I think that matters, thinking about the church that way. I think that really matters. Actually, it matters to think about the church, for example, like a hospital. Because if you think of the church like a hospital, then when you come to church, what happens is you think, you know, I might get cut today, but the only reason the pastor's doing heart surgery today is because he wants to heal me with the balm of Jesus Christ. So sometimes you can think of the church as a hospital, but sometimes it's worthwhile thinking of the church as a classroom. And you're the student, and it's kindergarten. Because then when you come to church, you can walk in, right? You just walk in, and you are bright-eyed, and you are bushy-tailed, and you are a sponge. And you can be that. Christ would have it be that way in the church. So you can just walk in, and you can think, because the teacher has been threatened actually with hellfire, that you better teach the truth and nothing but the truth, so that the children of God can come in and just learn. See, and then you look around, and all you see is other learners. Just kindergartners. Some of you know my daughter was in kindergarten a couple of school years ago. It's amazing how fast they grow. She'd come home every so often from kindergarten. She'd tell these stories. This kid did this to that kid. This kid did that to that kid. And then you help her through that. This is how we respond. This is how we think of that. This is how maybe we can be helpful. You know how it is. And so I've heard these stories. This kid did this to that kid. And anyway, one day I actually got to go to the classroom. I know in my head, this kid did that to that kid, and they're playing together right now. And I'm watching them. And neither one was wary. Neither one was asking any questions about how this was going to go. their relationship snapped back like it was elastic. Kids with other kids. I was pondering that, thinking about that, and there are, of course, more than one reason for that, but one reason I thought of is this. She had a great teacher in her classroom. It was safe there because the teacher was going to step in and make it be okay. You realize that's what happened in this teaching. Jesus had learners, they were kindergartners, and they were acting like kindergartners. Jesus, who gets to be in the front of the line? You know, who gets to be the greatest? It's safe when you're with the teacher. He steps in, he makes sure everything is okay. So that everybody there can just get back to, you know, playing nicely in the sandbox, doing your best to color within the lines like kids do. Like peanut butter and jelly. So that other people can come and just join in the fun. There's one last book I want to tell you about. It's my favorite one. I got it on Father's Day a few years ago. It's my favorite book. It's called The Day That God Found Us You. It's about adoption. The Day That God Found Us You. Every time I read it, I choke up. Children. None of us were natural children of God. Not a one of us. And what Jesus is trying to do through this teaching is show us that if there's any part of you like that, this sermon is like, yeah, that sounds right. Jesus is showing you that you're a child too. You know? And Jesus says, that's the greatest place to be in the kingdom of heaven. Seeing yourself like that. See, because when you see yourself as somebody who's not just needy, but also foolish. And not just trusting, but sometimes gullible. And if you see yourself as somebody who's, yeah, I've played not nice in the sandbox sometimes. I've picked up my truck and went home sometimes. If you see yourself like that, then you see that you're not just a needy child, but you're a child that is in need of all out, full on grace. You got to be adopted into the family. And what you get to do today as a child is simply to receive that. Like a child. You know how adults are. Adults are the worst. When somebody gives them or tries to give them an extravagant, huge gift, you know how it is. We're thinking, is there a hidden motive? We're thinking, what are they really up to? We're thinking, now we're going to be indebted to them. And then we say to them, you know, I couldn't, or I'll pay you back, or something like that. Adults are the worst. And what we get to do is just get rid of the adult compunction. And when God comes to give us a gift, we can just say with wide eyes and an open heart, thank you, thank you, thank you. I have always wanted this, and now I get it. Because the gift that you get to receive today is Jesus. He's the Father's gift. See, he's the Father's natural child. The only perfect one. He was trusting but not gullible. He was kind and never selfish. Never picked up his truck and went home. He was the Father's perfect child. And he took that perfect life and he took it to the cross, where he got tossed out of the holy family to welcome us in, to adopt us. That was the day that God found us, you. And you get to receive that today. No adult compunction now. You know, my daughter, she's never come up to me and said, you know, here are my degrees and here are my good works and here are all the wonderful things. I really deserve to be your child. Never. None of that awful adult compunction. I'll pay you back, Dad. None of that. Just receive it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You have a father now. Through Jesus, you are always pursued, always loved, always forgiven, always nurtured, always protected. You have a father. And that brings me to this closing thought here on Father's Day. I remember when I became a father for the first time. Some of you other dads maybe remember it too. It was like a little bit like being in a dream. I'm in this hospital room. Somebody calls out, do you want to hold her? I say yes. I walk over. You know how new dads are. They're like, I don't want that head to drop. You know, and you walk up and I'm cradling her and I hold her to my chest and I'm looking at her, this tiny little thing. They're so tiny. And there's no words, right? None. Not even poetry can do it. There's something about being a father that just fierceness pierces your soul. You know what I'm talking about, dads? And you hold this child, my child. This is my own little humble thought for Father's Day. What I've learned from being a father is now I know better what it means to have a father. To have a father who protects me more than I protect myself. Who cares for me more than I care about myself. Who loves me more than I love myself. And if you have got any questions about how fierce he is in his soul for you, then you just got to look at that. I've learned on Father's Day what it means to have a father. Seen in this time, in this place, that's enough. You don't have to know everything right now. Only he does. It's a complicated, complex time in 2020. What you know is enough. You have a father. And what that means is that you can go back to your life, which is a little bit like a coloring sheet. Pick up your Crayolas so that one day when you get to the Father's house, you can say, look, Father, look at what I did. It maybe isn't much, but I colored this life for you. Let's pray. Father, on this Father's Day, I thank you that you've been a father to each one of us. You've made us, created us, each so different. And then you sent your Son to redeem us and your Spirit to sanctify us. Thank you for being a father who always pursues us, always protects us, always provides for us. I pray for your children today. Help them know it in their hearts more and more and more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.